Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this particular segment. And alhamdulillah, the day today in South Africa is the 29th of Dhul Hijjah, 1446. Let's welcome Mufti Farhan Karani. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti sir. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Mufti Saab, all well on your side?
Alhamdulillah, shukar.
Alhamdulillah. Jiwi, I think a few weeks now we didn't hear from you. So, Mufti Saab, hope you're well and everything is going
Alhamdulillah, shukar.
Jiwi, Mufti Saab, what's the latest? When we say latest, we always say fitna-wise. What's happening? Mufti Saab can alert us. We just had Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman from currently staying in Pakistan. So he was informing us of the mayor who's running now for the elections. It seems as a Muslim, anti-Israel, and Muslims just tend to say yes. Very good person, but he's got a secret side to himself which he doesn't expose too much, and there's a whole Shia side to it. So like this, there's so many things, and when you scratch deeper and deeper, you find so many things that it's you just wonder how do people get involved in all of this, and so much of effort to hide their true beliefs and the rest. Like this, we in South Africa, there's so many things that we're exposed to. We are unaware of it, just blindly going into it. And then, so Mufti Saab, you can just inform us quickly.
We never believe a politician. Politicians are all liars. So we know, for a fact, in our country, we know the Al-Jamaa party. They were promoting their party during the election and before the elections. And, you know, Muslim party, let's vote for a Muslim party. But the people are, you know, al-awam kal-an'am in the Arabic thing. The masses are like animals. They just follow. You know, sheep goes in one direction, all the other sheep follow. So we just blindly follow. We don't do investigations. Who is this person? Who is this party? What is their objectives? What is their motto? What do they believe in? Who is the leader? And if they come into power, then who is the leader? What are they? What's their constitution? We have to look at all these things. So when people want to come into power, they'll always put a facade and make you believe, make you see what you want to see. And so you want a Muslim ruler who is against Israel and he stands for Deen and everything. So they'll make you see that. A very clear example we can see in India, when Modi was campaigning for election, then everybody said, no, you know, Amara Gamna, you know, he's from our Gam, and, you know, very good guy, and, you know, he's giving Muslims money, and, you know, he's doing so much when he was a mayor, whatever, council, or whatever he was before he became president. Now he was doing so much for us because he wanted the support of the Muslims. And look what he done after he became the president. It's killing, massacring with Muslims in India. Mm. And all the laws are against Muslims in Islam in India.
Mm.
So never believe these politicians because they're all liars. And we look at what's happening in the world also. You look at all the rhetoric coming out from Iran. At Khomeini, not Khamenei, they call him Khamenei. Khomeini's son. That's son, but you know, he's Chamcha. So he, tears in his eyes. His eyes are about red also. You know, the Shia, they are very good in taqiyya and lying in it. So, got some tears in his eyes. His eyes are about red there, squinting his face, you know, giving his khutbah. Like, he got so much of feeling for the Muslim ummah. And, you know, he gave a proper khutbah, you know. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Everything, all the proper words of the khutbah he gave. And now Muslims must stand all together, forget about all the sectarianism and all that. They must all stand united against Israel and everything. And all skullduggery this year, it's all lies. So we never believe them. If you look at Iran, and last week spoke about Jummah khutbah, alhamdulillah, about Iran and Israel. We can't take any one side. We can't take any one side because they're both our enemies. And you'll be surprised this morning I found some articles about the, brother, he posted something about Iran. It was a joke about Trump, and that there's Iranian cells within South Africa, and South Africa is harboring Iranian terrorists and everything. It's actually true. It's actually true if you look at it. All these people who are coming from foreign countries are coming here. We don't want to label them, but they're coming here, and they are Shias. Majority of them are Shias that are coming here. So they don't even attend our masajid. They go to some other place. They got their own masajid, and you'll see them in our masajid sometimes when they're reading Salah. I've noticed it. When they hit their left. And what are they doing? They're cursing Abu Bakr Umar radiallahu anhu. So they are around. If you see them, the banners on their cars now when this war is taking place, you see the Iranian flag on behind the car, on the windows, back windows, and the flags on the cars. And it's, so we know whose side they're on. So never believe them. And so this Israeli-Iran war, Allah Ta'ala is making it so that He's using one zalim to take out another zalim. So Allah Ta'ala works in mysterious ways. Like if you look at Israel, they're such cowards that they blocked up the internet totally there from Israel, so nobody must know what's happening inside Israel. Just a day or two ago, there was a military vehicle inside northern Gaza where they were massacring Muslims, and the Mujahideen, they came up close to the vehicle, and they bombed it, and burning all five or more Zionists standing to Jahannam straight, burning, because what they do to our Muslims, so good, they all burning, going to Jahannam. And then there was a confrontation with the Zionists there in Gaza as well, and some of them died, actually about six of them died, and you know when one of them died, it's like 1,000 of them died, and the Quran says so. So they take it very, very seriously, you know, it's a big loss for them. So if you look at most of about 6,000 military personnel already taken part in the Gaza war. They all are like paraplegic and lost arms and lost legs and serious injuries and psychological mental issues, and they all are injured. So they cannot even come back to war because they're not fit for it. So now what they're doing, they're recruiting other Jews from all over the world. And just yesterday we saw this horrific scene from Moscow where this Zionist is casually walking. They call him a tourist, so they actually use the wrong word. They must tell the terrorist. He is walking around in the airport there and he sees this Iranian. Now we look at this in a different view, that there was a child, an 18-month-old baby. And so whether that woman, the mother of this child, came from Iran, seeking asylum in Russia. So this Zalim, he takes his baby and he slams the baby on head first onto the floor. Can you imagine? Head first on the floor, the child, Allah knows how much of pain the child was in. Child went to a coma, they done assessments on the child, they took the child to the hospital and everything, and they said there's no major issues with the child, but the child has a cracked skull. And so, and then what they come out with, no, this chap here, he's on drugs. They actually said he's on drugs. Yeah, so they just brush it off, no, he's on drugs, they're sending to a rehab. Imagine, what a zulam this guy made, and then they say, no, he's on drugs, so they just brush it aside. If you look at this Netanyahu, what war crimes he has on his head, and the people of Israel are after him, they want to put him into jail, but he's so, because he's in power, he's using all the power he has to destroy his own country, just to keep himself out of prison, just to keep himself out of jail, but he doesn't know that the Qabr is waiting for him, and Qiyamah Jahannam is waiting for him, how much of zulam he makes, just to save his skin, his miserable, ugly skin here in this dunya, and it's going to melt away in the fire of Jahannam. But he's trying to save his skin here in this dunya. for a few days until you meet his fate, and then he's going to be thrown into prison first and then thrown into Jahannam. Khalidina fiha abada, inshallah, because of the zulm he made. How many children every day, you know, they are just going to get food. So how these zalims, how they made the, they set up the whole aid collection thing. You have to walk for kilometers to go and get aid. And on the way, they ambushed. They ambushed and they shot dead. It's getting these bags of flour, they shot dead. Just to survive. And that article is reading that the children in Gaza, they are making fuel through plastic. They're using, Allah, how they're making it. They're making fuel out of plastic. And just to stay warm. Just to stay warm. And what sacrifices, but they never ever gave up their land. And still now, how much of resilience Allah Ta'ala has put in these Muslims of Palestine, and it's amazing. You look at these Zionist rats. That's their promised land, but they are running away from their promised land so much so that they're running so fast that even they had to close the airport, they shut the airport, no flights in and out. Because they know that the Zionists are leaving. So now what they're doing, they're jumping onto boats, you know, like a rat fleeing flood waters. They fleeing onto anything and then try to escape. So that's how these rats are trying to run away. They all landing up in Cyprus there. And now they're going to be dispersed all around the world. Let them make it that they are totally destroyed. The Zionist regime is totally destroyed. Now they came to a land and those people open up their arms for them and gave them refuge there. Nobody in the entire world wanted them, and Muslims took them in, and the next day they turn around and say, this is our land. Until today, they don't want to leave, and they're expanding it. So, alhamdulillah, Iran is giving them a good hiding there, and the power stations are being bombed, their headquarters got bombed, their military arms and wings got bombed there. So, they are getting a good hiding from the other zalims on the other side. And if you look at now the so-called Muslim countries also, what are they doing? What are they doing? They, you know, each country, if you look at Saudi Arabia, you get Qatar, you get Bahrain, you look at Iraq, every single one of them have American bases in their country. Every one of them got American bases there. Why do they have American bases there? It's because we're talking about politics and all these skullduggery tactics of these people. Each one of these countries are taking help from America against the other Muslim countries. Mm. Because Saudi Arabia is scared of Iran. And you got Bahrain is scared of Saudi Arabia. And you got UAE is also scared of Iraq or wherever. They're all scared of each other. The Arab countries are scared of each other. So they put a third party in their country. So they like so-called like they freeze. And this is why they have American bases there. Why is the biggest American base there in Qatar and in a Muslim country? Why are these people sucking up to the kuffar to the West, to Trump especially? They are sucking up to Trump. They're giving him, a $400 million jet. And Saudi Arabia invested $1.4 trillion in America now when Trump came. They gave him, take all his money, invest it in your country. Our money you invested in your country. And then the Americans turn around and give him a kick. They give him a kick and they tell him, go to hell. Imagine, they got no skin on his faces with these people, Saudi leaders and the Qatari leaders. So we never be enamored with what the Qatari is doing there. You know, they negotiating between this country. Who made them the global negotiator? All of a sudden, they're just negotiating the Taliban and between Taliban and America. Then they're negotiating between Iran and Israel, negotiating between Russia and Ukraine. They became the global negotiator. But they obviously there's an interest. They got interest behind it. And they do nothing for nothing. They want something in return. So you look at so they have these American bases there, and then. They're collecting money from America because the bases are there for nothing. They're collecting money from America. If you look at Jordan, right in the beginning of this Palestinian conflict with Israel, the The only country that dropped aid into Gaza was Jordan. And so a whole Muslim world was like, mashallah, you know, the Jordanians are doing so good work. You know, they're the only Muslim country that is dropping aid for the Palestinian people. Now the truth comes out after a few months that they were getting paid $40 million for each drop. $40 million they were getting paid for each drop. So they weren't doing it just like that. They were being paid to drop that aid. And now what is in that aid? And that food now is given by America. So what do they put in that food? They put things in that food so you can die. And so you can't have more children. So there's always a plot behind everything. And never ever believe this kufar. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kulu fi sabili kafa. Oh, people, yet you must enter into, oh Muslimin, enter into Islam completely. And what does Allah Ta'ala say? وَقَاتِلُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ كَافَةً and make jihad, wage jihad against the kuffar and the mushrikeen collectively. You must all unite as Muslims and you must fight the kuffar. And nowadays, the Muslim world is very scared to use the name, the word jihad. No, you say jihad, no, you must say jihad. You must say jihad. And very, very softly. And nobody must hear the word jihad. You know why? Because the kuffar are scared out of their boots when they hear the word jihad. They don't want you to use the word jihad because it instills fear in them. You know, there was a rally, Trump's rally, he was in a rally somewhere. And somebody from behind in a crowd just came, Allahu Akbar. You should see Trump's expression. He turned around and he was like a missile fell on him. He was like shocked. He didn't know what was happening. And his security personnel are like covering him, and he's like all hell broke loose for him there. Just one word, Allahu Akbar, and he couldn't take it. They can't take it when Muslims behave as Muslims, when Islam is a threat to them. To us Muslims, we're not a threat, but Islam is a threat to them. So they were trying to wipe out Islam. So we as Muslims, we must be more bold as Muslims. We mustn't be shy to say that you must go out in jihad. You know, today the ulama, they said, as you see, yeah, some of these organizations, these ulama, how they meant, what they mentioned about, they will say, go out in jihad. What they say, no, we must prepare. We must prepare, you know, we don't speak about it because, you know, we are not ready. You're not ready to go out in jihad. You're not ready. You know, I was saying about, imagine Imam Mahdi comes tomorrow. And Imam Mahdi comes tomorrow and he gives a call. He says, come, oh mu'mineen, oh muslimin, ta'alu ila al-jihad, come, let's come to the maidan of jihad. We need you. And then what the Maulana and the Maulis will say, first thing, they say, no, we need to verify, is this real Imam Mahdi or is it somebody else, you know, imposters, you know, fake news maybe. We need to verify, fast check this here. Send somebody there to see if it's really the Mahdi that emerged. And so we are very, very scared. Very, very scared to leave our comfort zone to accept the call of the hand. So we must never be afraid to be afraid of Muslim. And today, outside, playing our Islam on us. And we can't express ourselves as Muslims. We're scared to wear a beard. We're scared to wear Islamic clothing because what the people will think? Oh, this is also he's part of the terrorists. He's part of Iran or you know, the guy is gonna bomb us or they're afraid of us. So they must be afraid of us. And but when will they be afraid of us? When we act as Muslims and we don't shy away from being Muslims. If you look at the masajid, the masajid are empty. The whole week, masajid are empty. Come Jummah day, it is over. No prayer. Three namaz days to come, late day by the shura. But other namaz al fajr, there's hardly one. Hardly masajid in the masjid. And asr time, zuhr time, people in the masajid. So, we say as Muslims, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, khulu fi sabili kafa, come fully, totally into Islam. Don't cut corners. Oh no, we're scared. You know, so these new mollies, these YouTubers and Instagrammers and TikTokers, TikTok Maurice, they want their followers. Then they want their followers, so they won't speak about jihad. What they say? No. The one chef, he said, no. The jihad is only for, Na'ud Billah, it's totally, Zingis and Murtad say something like this here. It, jihad is only in the time of Nabi Sassam and from Badr Uhud and then Afghanistan passed away. There was no need for jihad at then. So now there's no need for jihad, according to him. It, but the Quran is for all time, until the day of Qiyamah. And let us say the ayahs never get abrogated. All the eyes of jihad is not abrogated. It's still there until the day of Qiyamah. And so they're scared to speak about jihad. Why? Because their diplomatic status will be revoked and they won't be able to fly to Europe and Asia and America. They won't be able to collect money anymore. They lose their followers and they can't travel the world anymore. They can no more globe-trotting and reporting from this country and from that country because everything will be closed for them. So never ever fall in the trap of the kuffar. No, Umar radiallahu anhu, he was never deceived by any of the kuffar plot. He saw through, right through them. And because a Muslim, a mu'min, he must ittaqu firas of the mu'min. He must fear the foresight of the Muslim and of the believer. Because the believer can see through all these people's tactics and all their fake cries and their fake statements. And you see, when Ahmad Sari, they said, how many years ago he warned us against, so many things. And now we see that, yes, what he was saying was true. And he warned us against his poultry farms, and he warned us against his abattoirs, and he warned us against Coca-Cola, and he warned us against so many things. And people were saying, oh, he's just speaking, and you know, he's creating division in the ummah. Now people are seeing it with their own eyes. That what he was saying was the truth. But because he had foresight. So if you develop the taqwa in us, then Allah Ta'ala will grant us the foresight to stay away from and to favor ourselves from all these the crookedness of all these politicians and all these all fitna and fasad. So if we attach ourselves to the masajid and we attach ourselves to the company of the pious ulama, then we will be able to see the light in the darkness. And right now we see light. There is light, but there's darkness. We can't see. It's like blind people. We're like blind people. We can't see through the treachery of these people. So Allah Ta'ala make it that we come fully into Islam and we appreciate Islam. And we mustn't be scared to be Muslims and identify ourselves as Muslims. We mustn't be afraid to show that we stand for Haqq. And no matter what, what they're going to do. A Muslim never loses. A Muslim will never lose. Look at Imam Abu Hanifa. Look at Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. He was not afraid to speak the Haqq. And when the debate about the Quran being the Kalam of Allah and Khalq Allah, he wasn't afraid. He went to prison. He was clothed with elephant whip. And to stand for the Haqq and to stand for the Deen of Islam nothing must deter us. And a mu'min in a battlefield, even if he gets shahadat, he becomes a martyr, or he'll collect the booty. And so he's never a loser. That was the attitude of the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, that a Muslim never loses. Either he gets shahadat, or either he's going to collect from the kuffar. So that must be our attitude. And when we adopt the way of the Sahaba, and we adopt the way of Rasulullah, then we'll never be losers. And the whole world will be, the whole world can laugh at us, the whole world can talk about us. But as long as you are practicing the sunnah and you are adhering and abiding by the laws of Allah Ta'ala, then you must don't be scared of the laws of the kuffar. And the kuffar will brand you as a terrorist, and they'll brand you as Al-Qaeda, they'll brand you as all these things. They must be proud. America says, I'm a terrorist. Yes, I terrorize them because I'm a proper Muslim. So that is very terrorizing to them. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Saab, and make dua for us as well. Inshallah, we'll meet you next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.